When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Don't raise trees just yet.
Sit down and strap in for the Ultimate Super Coach Podcast. It's time to win your leagues and dominate your mates.
This is the Jewel Position Podcast, hosted by Whisperer and Adriana Soros.
Oh, the Titans, eh? The bloody Titans. A young, exciting, promising side that have built this year with the addition of Kieran Foran in the halves to give a bit of stability there. The Toby Sexton experiment probably didn't work last year. There was a few ups and downs along the Titans' road last year. This year, it's tough to place them. It's because I could definitely see them challenging the eight. But overall, I've got them in 14th, Ado.
Yep, 13th for me. I do agree. I think that it depending, they're sort of like a basket case, aren't they? You never know what you're going to get because on their day they can absolutely look outstanding. They can blitz a top four team, and then they lose these ones, and you're just like, how the hell did they lose that? To be honest, I follow all of the teams, all their socials and stuff, and they're looking terrifically happy in the preseason. A lot of, I don't know if you saw the one with them singing on the stairs the other day and stuff. So I like the signing of Foran. I think that it was a big mistake probably letting Fogarty go, but I think that they've pumped it right back in with a Foran who's probably even better, I reckon, for what they need than Fogarty. So I think it's a year where they can probably challenge for the eight. I've got them finishing 13th just with the way I think the other teams are going to land, but I wouldn't be surprised to see them in that dogfight with a lot of other teams for the eight.
Yeah, as we get closer to the season, more and more mail comes out about sides and how sort of they're tracking. The Titans have basically all but confirmed AJ Brimson will be lining up in the fullback position this year with Tanner Boyd pairing Kieran Foran in the halves. Looks like Foran's going to be on the left-hand side on Firmer's edge and Boyd will be on the right-hand side with Fifita's edge. Centers and backs, still yet to be made up. There has been a little bit of talk and a lot of showcasing on Alafiana Khan-Pereira, the 200K center wing cheapie. Looks like he might get the start the year, so that will help, and we'll touch on him as this episode progresses. But in the gun category, Tino Fa'asua Malawi, I generally think he could be one of the best front row forwards in the game if he transitioned to that role fully. And we saw last year for Supercoach, he was playing big minutes at the back end of last year and was really, really good. And to come out and say Joe Tarpany is the clear-cut best front row forward option, I would push back on that. I think he is, but I don't think it's night and day as to what people are claiming. I think Tino at 705K could really push for that. And I guess the added thing with Tino is he does have the jewel, which is handy.
Yeah, the jewel is handy. And I think he, last year, I've always said ever since he came in, he's just got nothing to his game other than sort of runs. He doesn't offload and stuff, but we started to see a bit of that last year. And that sort of pushes him up into the top echelon of front row forward. He is dual, which is really handy. I think it'll be him. And if you're going to splurge in the front row, I think it is him or Tarpany. I would still probably take Tarpany. I think Tarpany does it so easily. And if he gets the minutes, I think he'll outscore Tino. But if Tino's probably, he's the captain, I think he probably commands minutes. He doesn't have to, we don't have to sit on our edge of our seat waiting to see if he's going to keep those minutes. So he'll. I think him and Tarpany will be top two this year, probably.
Both things to mention with Tarpany and Tino is both those sides run three forward rotations in the forwards, so that always helps them out too. It's nice to have that 14 for Supercoach because it does free up some more minutes. David Fifita, 690K. It's a roller coaster ride with him. It's up and down. You know what we're going to get at the highest of highs. The lowest of lows, they suck, but he still punches out 40, 50 points even on the worst day. People talk about his inconsistencies and whatnot, but yet the last 2 years, he's still been very, very elite for Supercoach.
He is, and that's the thing. When you've got the kind of game that he has, even though you're like, I want these big 50-meter running tries and I want 150, because we know of all the second row of forwards, he's probably got the biggest ceiling, you know, yeah. And we want that ceiling all the time, and it makes us selfish to get those all the time from him. Last year, I thought he had an absolute wretched year. I thought they used him terribly, and he still averaged really well because he is elite. This is a contract year. This is the last year of his million-dollar contract.
Add 10 points to the average, surely.
I reckon so. I mean, he wants to probably go and command as close as he can get to the million. Hopefully, probably 800,000, I think he's going to be sort of hoping for.
In a Canberra Raiders jersey?
I bloody hope so. I tell you what, I wouldn't sneeze at taking a David Fifita at all.
Fifita and Hudson Young on your edges. Imagine that.
Oh, mate. I love it. Yeah, so look, I think he's on for a big year. I've seen a little bit of, you know, when I saw him in the World Cup, I was like, oh, he's looking big, you know, like he's looking like he's enjoyed his off season. But in the training videos I saw from them the other day, he's looking trim. He's looking fit and strong. He was running real fast. So I think he's in good shape as well. So I think he's a good go for this year. People are panicking about he's going to be next to he's not going to be next to Foran, which I don't really see a huge problem. I think it might be not as good, but Boyd and him have played all of their junior career. And if you look at their stats throughout their career, it might almost be a better thing because they're just so used to each other. And I don't think Boyd's not going to do him dirty. Because they're mates.
No.
They're real good mates.
You and I are the kind of super coaches. We're both big ceiling guys, and I don't think we'll ever be put off for Fifita. He might not make our size round one, but that's not because we don't like him. It's probably down to funding more than anything. But, yeah, I'm big on for Fifita too. I don't see how it gets any worse than last year. And, yeah, some weeks you're going to score 50 points and it's going to suck, but other weeks you're going to – Fifita will do something in the 75th minute and it'll get into 110. And you take those as it comes. These high ceiling guys, if they had a safe floor, then you'd be paying 800, 900K for them. But the fact that Fifita does have those inconsistencies as you are getting him, I would still say at a discount at 690. So I am all aboard Fifita. AJ Brimson, not so much a bounce back, not so much a gun. Sort of put him in between the two. Looks like he does win the fullback spot over Jaden Campbell. He is available at 5'8" as well. So. You know, if you wanted to spend the extra money over someone like a Kalen Ponga who doesn't have dual at the moment, you could potentially run, you know, three elite fullbacks in your sides by pairing AJ with two other gun fullbacks in the 5'8 position. And yeah, 678K.
Yeah, it's not the worst. He is sort of a semi-gun, I think. You know, we know that he had a tragedy, obviously, in the off-season with one of his friends, sad passing. He's really spoken well about how he wants to do an homage to him and have a big year and dedicate it to him. I think he is really good in the fullback position. As long as he's healthy, that's the thing with him. He does pick up an injury here and there. But that duel's really handy this year. There's not so many that have him. Last year, what a gift it was having Hines available, fullback, halfback. And I think multiple times when I was sort of fiddling around, had Hines in the fullback, and then I moved him back up to the halves. Yeah. It's quite handy, I think, you know, to be able to pick a fullback, an actual playing fullback, and pick him in your 5'8 position if you want to do that. It's the opposite of what you know, Ponga's going to do. He's going to be playing in the six, and maybe you could pick him in the fullback position. So I'm not going to go there, but I think it's probably good things for AJ Brimson this year.
Yeah, I'm not against it. A little bit more expensive than Burton. I'm probably a little bit higher on Burton than I am AJ, just because Burton does have the goal kicking. But yeah, if you want to zig with another zag, I definitely don't hate Burton as your, you know, main 5'8" if you want to go for a pot option. We talk about Fifita having a down year last year and being priced at 690. Now, his counterpart, Bo Furmore, I think had a phenomenal season and is priced at 686. I'm just not seeing it happening. I don't see lightning striking twice in the sense of I think we're paying max dollar for Bo Furmore, and I probably don't see it happening again.
Yeah, well, see, last year they were actually passing to Furmore and they were using Fifita as a decoy. I think this year they're going to use Fifita better. They'd be mad if they didn't do it, and that 13th could be a 15th if they don't find a way to do it. I think Foran, you know, he's too experienced. He's got a bloke he played with his whole junior career. I think they'll use David Fifita more, and there'll be less decoy for feeder, and that'll be less, you know, balls just go. I'm like, why are they always going for more? I mean, he has having a good year. Don't get me wrong. And he got up to Queensland, didn't he, up there in the squad? So he had a ripping year, Furmore. The biggest thing that was the benefit of owning Furmore last year is you could pick him in the centres. So I'm not splurging if I'm going to have to put him in the second row.
Yeah, no, losing centre wing was big for him. And I've seen a few teams with Bo Furmore on there. I just think if you're paying 686 for him, find the extra 4K and pay it for Fifita, because we saw how poor Fifita was last year and he's still averaged more than Furmore despite, you know, being phenomenal. Earlier in the episode, Ado, we touched on the Titans lineup. Holbrook's basically all but confirmed his back line, and that leaves no room for Jaden Campbell, who is 567K. Available fullback only. I don't really want to spend a whole lot of time on this because he's probably going to be playing 14 and in a premium position, be mad to even consider him.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably the best fit for their team. I think he's just a little bit raw, doesn't have the best passing game about him, and I think he stunts their attack a little bit. I think AJ is a better pick for them. He's a no-go on the bench as a 14 at that price.
A guy that really found his role last year, I felt, in this Titans side was Aaron Clark. I remember he started the season last year at 300K, and I was intrigued at hooker, and I didn't end up going there, but he sort of just plodded along at 40, 45 points a game. It wasn't until he was moved into the 13 jersey that he really, really excelled, and it's got me really excited for him as a prospect. Available at hooker, 2RF, so a handy jewel, 495K. This one is definitely minutes and team dependent. I would want to get some more intel from the Gold Coast. I'd want to see some trials before I really locked in Aaron Clark into my side. But boy, if he lined up in that 13 jersey and he was playing 55, 60 minutes, you'd be hard-pressed not to find a spot for him in your team.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, he looked really good in the 13. And the only thing that makes you probably worried about doing it to start this year is they did show last year that they were happy to put Tino back to the 13. I don't know whether it felt like Tino wanted to be the 13, but I think Tino is absolutely got to be up there in the prop position. They've lost a couple of big boppers, I think, as well. So hopefully they're going to go into this year and realize that, like, that sort of small, mobile passing, he's a dummy half by trade, so he's got a good pass on him. It works so well for them. And the times that he was playing 13 last year, they looked a hell of a lot better, didn't they? So it's a, like you said, I think the intel is the key. If we get a sniff that he's going to start in 13, I reckon he could be one of those real nice smoky options to start your team in the 400s, just a tick under 500, but handy jewel as well. I mean, if you're going with what's his name from the Dolphins? He's got the same jewel.
Oh, big Ray Stone, yes.
Yeah, get one of them as your back. Get Ray Stone as your backup hooker. I know. Go with the cheese as your main hooker. Go Ray Stone as your backup. And then you can go and rock Aaron Clark in your second row. Then you've got a weird sort of interchangeable, well, you know, the old Brandon Smith from last year once. So, look, I like the look of him in the 13, yes.
I'm not a coach. I've got no coaching badges, but something that I have sort of noticed with these, you know, really good ball playing 13s, yes, it helps link up the halves, but it allows the halves to sit a tad deeper. And when you've got dynamic line runners like Furmore and Fifita, if you can get them wider and pushing between the halfback and center shoulder, then, you know, it's a lot more ideal. Whereas if you're going to have Tino, Boyd and Foran probably going to have to tuck in maybe 2 or 3 metres, and maybe those lines don't open up for your edge runners. So, yeah, I do like the idea of Aaron Clark playing 13 and does have that hooker jewel, as you mentioned, that you can chuck him up there. You can also chuck Tanner Boyd up in jewel. You can also chuck him at halfback. And Tanner Boyd is a guy that I'm seriously, seriously contemplating putting in my side, whether it be at halfback. That means we forego the Cleary-Hines combination, or we play him at hooker, which means I forego one of my gun hookers because Brendan Clark, Brendan Smith isn't moving from my side. Now, Tanner Boyd, 385K, we're getting a good price here because of his, you know, performances off the bench. Probably going to be goal kicking as well. I think he kicked 21 from 25, you know, goals last year when he was kicking. Something to worth note as well, his average, I think, was around 65 points a game when he was playing halfback, and we're getting him at, you know, much, much discounted rate. Something to note with Fifita and his combination as well. When Boyd played inside Fifita last year, he had scores of 57, 86, and 90 for an average of 77.3. So I don't hate the idea of stacking up Boyd and Fifita together, especially if Tanner is goal-kicking.
Yeah, well, that's it. He's not a bad goal kicker. They've had a combination that was there right from high school days, so it makes me not fear for Fifita, like, because, you know, Foran's not going to be there. And, you know, we talk about different strategies, which we're going to cover in later podcasts, about builds and what kind of build can we go with. You can go and skip the premium hooker, or you can skip premium half with the emergence of Tanner Boyd, I think. And that is a strategy at which people can go. I talk to a lot of people who are doing it. One, they're just going with Brandon Smith and Boyd, or they're going with Cleary and Boyd, and they're just saving an absolute mozzer of cash and to pump it into their team. And they look like they've got hardly a bad player in any other position because of the funds saved. And that is a strategy. We'll obviously discuss it at length furthermore. But the emergence of him has sort of made people have another thought about how they'll go the build, I think. And I think he's going to be a good option for teams this year.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. In these team preview podcasts, we're not going super in-depth with strategy for now. We will save that for closer to the season. But just off, you know, just quickly off the top of your head, if you were to run Tanner Boyd, are you going to run him at half? Are you going to run him at hooker?
I think if I was going to go him, it'd be probably at hooker in place of Harry Grant. Yeah. But then again, you know, we've been sort of talking about the teams and saying there are some worries when it comes to running a Hines and Cleary combo. So I think I'd probably I feel more scared to sacrifice a Hines or Cleary than I do about sacrificing a Grant, because a few times in my team I've gone down to Robson when I'm building my team. So I feel like that's where I could do it. But I'm open to all things if I decide that I want to do it. There's pros to taking one of Cleary or Hines out of your halves, probably Hines, I've often said, but I think you can play up in the hooker position if it presents a player like this, so you can go.
That's the thing. Like, Hines and Cleary are fantastic, but they're not a slam dunk pick combination. Like, there is worries over the two, Cleary having the bye in round 3 and both of them being out round 13. So there, just because they are two of the best players in the game doesn't mean it's an absolute slam dunk pick to run them. So I think if you are looking at Tanner Boyd, look seriously considering weighing up your options as to where you can, you know, free up the funds.
Yeah, I mean, if you save 600,000 going him, you save 600,000 and he might average 15 points less.
Yeah.
You know, if it's those, that's the kind of maths that works kind of. And doesn't mean that you can't get Cleary or the other elite half that you want, but maybe for starting the year, it could work.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we will discuss that more moving forward. You wanted to also mention Mo Fotuaika, available front row forward, 525K, in the similar mold as, you know, Welch, Saifidi, Luke Thompson, Tom Gilbert, these kind of guys.
Yeah, he's in that sort of price point where you're not paying a Tappany or Tino price, but I really like Mo as a player. He seems to me like a real talent. Probably he hasn't ever realised or got to the level that I thought he would. You know, do you feel that way about him? Not quite got there yet?
With Mo, yeah. Like, it's always been, you know, he's had plenty of potential and had... I think he was one of Queensland's best, two series ago? And, yeah, just probably didn't put it together so much last year, but I think he's a very, very honest, safe Supercoach option.
Yeah, and looking at how I think they're going to line up as well, it's definitely him, and that's why I think Tino will play front row. I think they've probably lost a couple of names out of there, and I expect Mo, maybe he'll get up into the mid-600s this year, but I think he could average, you know, 55 to 60 points this year, quite safely.
And he won't deviate from that. It won't be a 31 week and 80 the next week. It's going to be pretty honest, 55, 60 points every week, which is ideal. Yep. The Titans, as we have mentioned, Alafiano Kian Pereira. Look, a lot of showcase on him. Center wing, 201K. Most likely we'll get the start round one. What his security is like, we will have to, you know, wait and see because there are some suspensions pending. But, you know, 201K, bottom dollar, you can do worse than invest. I think he will be in a lot of people's sides once the game fully opens.
Yeah, he looks, you know, on the surface, like maybe one of the only actual bottom price ones that we might get. So you plug him in at the moment because the mail is good. The mail on someone like Alamotti is not looking fantastic. So that's not to say that it won't happen, but the mail on this lad is good. So you pump him in there for now, and we deal with it if we get any mail that says otherwise.
And I think one of these guys will get a bench spot. It'll just be a case of who. Little Haas and Little Tino, you know, both the siblings of Payne and Tino, Fa'asil Malawi. Haas is 235K. Fa'asil Malawi is 201K. Both these guys in the forwards, one front forward, one 2RF. I think Haas probably has the higher chance of getting picked, but I do think one of them gets a spot regardless.
Yeah, I think it's going to go to one of them. Obviously, they've got pretty good names behind them, haven't they? So they've probably got a bit of talent. Maybe they're a bit raw and have a bit of first grade behind them before they get there. And maybe they may not even be as good as the siblings. But I think one of them might jag a bench spot. The price is quite nice for them. You know, it all depends on who else we get. You know, a lot of people got Pele in their team, and he may not even jag that bench spot. If one of these guys does jack a bench spot, you might be able to just slide them into your team as a bottom price front row or second row forward.
Very much so. Well, that's the Titans wrapped up. We will be back tomorrow with Manly Seagulls, and then we're going to have the weekend off, be back Monday, wrap up the teams, and then we get into the really, really nitty-gritty stuff, stats, you know, all that fun stuff when it comes to deep, deep player analysis, position analysis. But, yeah, mate, we are... You and I are both off to Sydney. We're going to do the old podcasters meet up. We're going to go watch a bit of the cricket. So that'll be good.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Ada's getting ready. Telling the business.
Already pre-drinking.
I'll be going large. So I said to her, record it because Ada might be going for a crowd catch and take out a row of kids. Yes. So, you know, get it on film.
Fantastic. We'll see you tomorrow with Manly Seagulls and contentious topic of Tom Trbojevic, whether we start with him round one. Or not, my friend. I will. We'll see you all then tomorrow.
No worries. Cheers, mate.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.